Hey, coming up today on Locked On Cavs, myself and Evan Demerol breaking down the Jordan Clarkson trade. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, Locked On Cavs here, and myself, Evan Demerol, recorded on Christmas Eve. If you're listening to this and you're expecting a breakdown of Kevin Love and Jetty Osmond and Kevin Porter Jr., you're going to hear that now on the 26th. So you'll hear that then. But the Cavs made a deal right at the beginning of Cavs Hawks. Jordan Clarkson is going to the Utah Jazz. He has been traded for Dante Exum. He's been traded for two future second-round picks, 2022 and 2023. Evan, just what is your initial reaction to this trade? What was your just initial takeaway from seeing that the Cavs have started their trade season and it's involving Jordan Clarkson being dealt for stuff that, at least in my opinion, isn't nothing?
No, I would agree with that for sure. It's just, well, I guess my initial reaction was, I'm home for the holidays and my dad said, hey, do you want to watch the Cavs game? Because everyone was waiting for Monday Night Football to start. And I said, yeah, sure, if you want to humor me, I guess. But I just was looking down at my phone and I just go, whoa, I'll be right back. I gotta go look at some stuff. So it definitely caught me off guard. But apparently I read Chris Fedor's piece this morning that these talks have been going on since the G League showcase and that the package was finalized last night. And Jordan and the rest of the team found out maybe about 30 minutes before tip-off. So it's definitely a surprise, but you know, like you said, it's not a nothing return. Dante Exum is a player you can kind of kick the tires on and see if like you can get a defensive-minded guard. There's not a lot else that goes with him at this point based on what people who cover the Jazz closely have told me, because I admitted to them, I'm like, listen, I have not watched much Dante Exum tape since maybe his rookie or sophomore year, so fill me in on what's going on. But to fast forward, yeah, the second-round picks have value because they packaged forward over the summer to trade for Kevin Porter Jr., the right draft rights to Kevin Porter Jr., and then they could take that avenue again and just accumulate draft picks and then try and facilitate a trade that way. Or by that time, high schoolers are available as well, and you can maybe take a chance on a high schooler and stash him down in Canton for a little bit and let him develop in Cleveland system, which is also nice.
What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Exum or the salary stuff is what it is. Like they have, they got a little cap room, whatever. They got a little more room under the luxury tax, which is good. That's like just good financial maneuverability. Yeah. Do you want to talk about what sort of losing Clarkson might signify, what changes could come, or do you want to talk about Exum first?
Let's talk about the loss of JC, because I didn't really realize how beloved he was. I mean, I got the impression from just being around him in the locker room that everyone likes having him, but man, it feels like a real blow to the team morale a little bit, because Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson seem like they lost their best friend last night. And
the headline was dramatic. I will say that the Cleveland.com headline that is, quote, Cleveland Cavaliers devastated, surprised by abrupt Jordan Clarkson trade, colon, I fell to the ground, this one hurts. That's some dramatic shit.
If
these guys are using their heads and are like, Jordan Clarkson expiring contract, this is a rebuilding team, they have two young point guards, this is a tradable player. Those are just facts.
No, I totally agree. And I mean, if you look at it from a morale standpoint, I guess it was a bit of a bummer, but like you said, I think a lot of the veterans on this team, especially ones that are on expiring deals, or if your name is Kevin Love, you know that your name is available out there on the trade market. And did you see Sam Decker throwing shade at the organization last night?
No, I didn't. But like Sam Decker, playing in Europe.
He's not the best guy, but I think Jordan Zerm said, like, wow, Jordan Clarkson was just shooting around like 30 minutes ago, and then they just traded him. And Sam Decker quote retweeted it and said, they did the same thing to me last year. And I'm like, okay. Well, someone
seems to have deleted it. I'm looking at his Twitter right now, and it seems like he's deleted it. So,
well,
stick to your takes, Sam. Stick to your takes.
Pretty much. But, I mean, I'm happy for Jordan long term. I mean, he's a he's always been a nice guy, and he is joining a Utah team that is 29th in the NBA in bench scoring, so he'll obviously help that out. And hopefully he can – I mean, Utah, I feel like, will make the playoffs. It just feels like a safe bet on them, even though my bet on them was them being a top three team in the West, and definitely not working out right now. If you took me to Vegas, I'd lose you some money. But it's – I don't know. It's like a confusing trade, I guess, because the Cavs are going to lose a decent amount of scoring off the bench. And but it if you look through the leaves of it a little bit and break it down a little bit more, you start to realize like this benefits the team long term as well, because like you said, if you're a veteran on an expiring deal, or like if you know your name's on the trade market, you're not a part of the long-term plans here. And I think this move also helps set up Cleveland long-term to like give a lot of their young guys a lot more burn on the floor, which is always something I'm okay with.
Yeah, I think the most interesting ripple that we're going to see play out after the holiday, the Cavs are off, I think, until Friday, if I have that correct, playing.
Yes.
And they play back-to-back Friday and Saturday. So in Boston at 4 p.m. on Friday, and then in Minnesota against Cat and the Wolves on Saturday. What I think we're going to see in those games, assuming this is all sort of kosher then, because I don't think it's been officially announced yet as we're recording this, and everything else that could kind of go on there, I think the ripple will be like, what are the rotation changes? Exum has only played 11 games this year. He was injured at the start of the year, has had some sincere, he hasn't really played a full season in a long time. He's been a very off injured player, but he's only 24. Mm-hmm. He has the kind of skill set, which we'll talk about in the next segment, that I think does sort of make some sense for being a rotation difference. But like, does this mean like, I think he probably comes off the bench first, but like long term, does he start? Does the Sexton thing, does he go to the bench? Does Garland go to the bench just to not alienate Sexton in some way? I think there are interesting questions, just kind of what we're going to see, because there's, I think, a clear way based on just kind of the research I did and kind of the film I breakdown I was doing last night. I think there's a clear way Exum, if he's healthy, can kind of fill a weird need, even if it's not perfect. So, I don't quite know what's theoretically totally going to work here, what's going to change. But I think that's the ripple effect. I think the locker room will miss Clarkson. I will miss covering Clarkson because I think he's a really interesting personality and kind of a funky guy. But, I think Kevin probably is going to be the one who misses hanging out with him. I know that they were like going to open mic nights in Cleveland and stuff. And because Jordan performs with them, it's a little thing about Jordan. He's just like a very kind of in the community guy in terms of living his best life. I think that's kind of the biggest thing, is just be a different feeling locker room. But I think this is probably the start of that changing more than anything else. I would be like surprised, like above a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, if this was the only deal that the Cavs make between now and the deadline in February.
Oh no, I totally agree with that. I think somebody asked me, they said, how far is Cleveland under the cap? And I said, 5.1 million. And
injury tax, it's like 5.6.
But that's what I meant. But as I said, this is probably the first domino to fall, and Cleveland is obviously just going to have a fire sale and get young picks or young players and draft picks and just kind of see what they have and just keep kind of keeping this rebuild going. But I was on the Chase Down last night, and I brought this up with Justin. I said, and now I'm just thinking about it out loud, like, maybe the Cavs don't want to sell off all of their veterans, though, by the deadline, because you look at a team like Atlanta, and Vince Carter was the only veteran who got serious minutes last night for them, and you see how their season is going. I think the Cavs need to find a little bit of that balance, but they do need to shut off a little bit of this weird roster construction of a contingent of veterans, either on expiring deals or are here long-term, and then you have a bunch of young guys who the Cavs need to play and take a gander at to see what they have going forward and just kind of figure out where the pieces fall. But I don't know. It's just, we'll talk about Exum obviously in the next segment because I have some thoughts on him. But I think, yeah, he will come off the bench at first, but there is a realistic shot that he could be starting. He could be takeover as the quote-unquote wolf because he has the size at least to maybe defend threes. But I don't know. It's just, it felt like a weird trade because I said, oh, Dante Exum is the return they got. And then the second round picks kind of soften the blow a little bit. But like you said way earlier, it's just, I feel like that's the most realistic package you can get for Jordan Clarkson, and it's better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, and I think Exum can be usable. I got some of the people I was talking with last night didn't have the most glowing praise of what he is as a real actual basketball player, but we'll get into that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about Dante Exum. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavs. All right, Evan, we're back. Here's my take on Exum. I think that he's a funky mix of a player, right? Like, I think the concern that I would have is that he's not a good shooter. I have a piece up at Fear the Sword about sort of his fit. You have one at Forbes. Both of those can be found in the show notes. They're, I think, good reads if you're trying to kill some time at a family party these next couple of days and your family's like talking about stuff you don't want to talk about. But for his career, he's shooting 40.1% from the field. He's shooting 30.5% from three. The thing that makes this even more alarming is if you go to last year when there was more data, last year, under 30% on catch and shoot threes. By comparison, Jetty Osma last year, who was like a shaky shooter, unreliable shooter, was 33.7% on catch and shoot threes on almost double the volume. Basically, when you look at Exum, his offensive value, I think, is something that does have value to the Cavs. He's a passer. He's not like a great lead guard passer type, but he looks to pass. He makes the right plays. He has good vision, and he's like he doesn't turn the ball over a ton. That's like valuable. The Cavs need a guy like that. The thing is, as a shooter, his shot is very slow. It's a funky little looking shot, and it again is very, very slow, and he's not a good shooter. Teams are going to ignore him. Now, you can make up for that with the rest of your roster. You can find it's harder to find a place for a guy like that in this NBA, but like, he has actual skills. He's very athletic. I think it's very clear that we haven't heard Kobe Altman talk to the media in quite a long time, at least not like all of us. I would like to ask him, like, when he makes a trade like this, if him and Beilein look in and you know, how involved is Beilein in this? How much does he know Exum, considering like he just came to the NBA? I would be interested to see like if they view him, considering he's under contract for the rest of this year and next year at 9.6, and he's only 24. He's got that top five pick pedigree. And all that stuff. I would be really curious to see if like they think, okay, like if we can keep this guy healthy, maybe get his shot a little bit worked on, give him time to just play without the pressure cooker of the Utah trying to contend this year. I wonder if they think he can be like a really interesting complimentary piece to the young guards, and kind of be part of the young core, at least give him a shot to do so. I think that's it for what Clarkson is and his contract and everything. I think that's like actually like a pretty good return.
Yeah, no, when you break it down like that, I definitely agree. It's just, I have to pause for a little bit every now and then. I can see the potential of how Dante Exum could work in this system and situation in Cleveland. Is a good complementary defensive guard to remedy the defensive woes of Colin Sexton, who is a better defender this year, but still not amazing. And Darius Garland, who's a rookie point guard and tries his best, but he's small. He's a small guy, and he still is getting used to playing with grown men. So that is definitely something I like to take into consideration. But the fact that he's just been hit with injuries so many times throughout his career, that gives me a just pause for a little bit. And then, like you said, he's a bad, not a great shooter. And I talked to Ben Dowsett about it, because that's the first guy I reached out to, because I don't know much about Dante Exum. What you tell him, and he said, and he told me, he's like, he has the potential to be an elite defender, but he has no confidence with the ball and does not have a good NBA handle. So, I mean, if you play him off the ball as a defender, and then if, let's say, the Cavs can fix his shot, great. And then, like you said, the Cavs are in the midst of a rebuild. He has top five pick pedigree, and he's only 24 years old, and he's under salary for this year. Next year, Cleveland has time to see what they have with him, and if it doesn't work, he's an expiring contract next year. And if he plays up a little bit, the Cavs can just flip him for more assets, and that's pretty much the mode they're in, is just asset acquisition. It's kind of like Marquise Chris last year. I mean, obviously, completely different things, but Marquise Chris is a player that a lot of teams just were kind of giving up on, and I feel like coming to Cleveland, like, listen, they have nothing to lose. Just go ahead and see what you got. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if it works, great. You got him for a steal of a deal. So that's where I'm at on it. It's just, I have to wait and see what we get with Dante Exum when he actually touches the floor, because he's just been so limited this year. And he's been getting a lot of DNP coaches' decisions as well. So just kind of makes it a little tough to gauge what exactly we have right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because I wouldn't say he's good right now.
No.
Right? Like, I don't think it's fair to look at him and be like, this is a good NBA player the Cavs got. It's like, it's firmly a bet. I'm going to pull up his kind of just some advanced numbers right now, but if you look at his value over replacement, when he was 19 as a rookie, he was a negative 0.8, which is a kind of, that's reasonable. You look at age 21, kind of his when he comes back from the ACL, play 66 games, he's about average. Average in 22 games when he's 22, but then he's hurt. Last year is a little negative. And then this year in the 11 games he's played, he's in 83 minutes, he's been a slight negative, like 0.1. So he's like close to average-ish there for his career. He's below average player, according to as tabulated by Vorp. The Jazz, I think with that contract he signed, bet on him. So, I think it's one of those things where it's just, I get that there's like, I don't think this is going to be like a good player for Cavs Twitter or like us as in the podcast space with like ourselves and the Chase Down and whatever to like feel unified on. I don't think there's going to be like with KPJ right now, it's like, wow, like KPJ is really fun, doing a lot of really good shit.
Yeah.
Garland is turning a corner the last couple of games. Like, that's been really fun. I don't think this is going to be like a guy who's sort of, it's going to be the eye of the beholder kind of thing. And I'll be very curious to just see like what, like this to me, again, I don't know this. I would just be really interested to see if like the Cavs ultimately had like a couple, if they had different way places they could send Clarkson, and if like this was the one they preferred, and if how much Exum sort of mattered in that. And again, I do think it is good from just a cap perspective that like he's not making so much money next year that it's like you can still do some interesting stuff in a weird free agency classic summer if you want to. Other deals will happen, whatever. But like, it's not like he's making like an absurd amount of money. It's like 9.6, and that's like manageable, theoretically flippable again next year if you really wanted to. Like that's part of this too. And I think a way that like I think this is just fine. And I think for a guy like Clarkson, this is like probably about as good as you're gonna get.
No, I'd agree with that. It just feels like it's underwhelming because maybe as a fan of this team on the outside looking in, just like, oh, that's all they got for Jordan Clarkson. But at the same time, maybe teams aren't as high on him as we were, or as I was, I should say. I'm trying to find the statistic, but like you said, Exum isn't on a super expensive deal. It's fairly reasonable and is an expiring deal next year. But I think Bobby Marks said even if Cleveland, when they probably will have a top five pick next year, they will still have $25 million in cap space to play around with this summer.
Let's pay Joe Harris $20 million to be a mercenary for 1 year. That's like the kind of stuff they're going to do.
Is that in the one that's coming out on the 26th where you suggested saying like, yeah, just let him kick the tires on a solid wing, just back at the Brinks truck for 1 year.
Yeah,
let them
I think that's right. Time's not real to me right now because I'm just like holidayed out, but I think that is on the 26th one, yeah.
So there's a little teaser for those who are ready to listen in on that one. But no, that's the thing. Like, if financially it makes a lot of sense, and I don't think Jordan Clarkson was gonna be here beyond this year. So you got to get something for him. And I mean, it's a prospect that you could hope see if it's a revitalization project that kind of fits in just for even if it's not long-term, it's just a temporary plan just to kind of make things a little bit more palatable when you're watching this team play. But I don't know. I think just it's asset acquisition mode and you can't be too stingy on what offers are out there. That does make me wonder though, how does the rest of the NBA view some of Cleveland's bigger assets like Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question that we'll learn more about these next 2 months. All right, one more break, and then we're just going to talk a little bit about that Hawks game, so stay tuned for more Lockdown Cavs. All right, Evan, Cavs beat the Hawks last night. Fun game. They almost blew it late. What to you is any just kind of quick takeaways from a 121-18 win where Sexton at 25, Garland 21, KPJ 15, Love 28, Tristan had 10 boards, only 3 points. Any kind of no Larry Nance last night. Any kind of takeaways from you from this game?
Well, I mean, it was a defensive masterpiece, I will say that much. But jokes aside, Kevin Porter was a lot of fun to watch. I do wonder that if he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder in this game, because Atlanta was one of those teams that passed over him. And if you just want to, you know, thumb your nose a little bit, Cam Reddish is the player that they passed Kevin Porter over for. And Cam Reddish is having a pretty bad rookie season overall. And Kevin Porter just keeps playing better and better. And I wonder if, like, just games like this are what gives him that little extra edge and puts a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. But no, he looked awesome last night, and he was a lot of fun. And then seeing Garland and Sexton both have great nights was just a lot of fun. And I think this is the benefit of trading Jordan Clarkson, is you're going to see a lot of these young guys having to step up and fill the void of his production. And I mean, even Dylan Windler, when he finally comes back as well, like, will get the opportunity to step up too. And I guess that's just, like, the nice thing about this is it was a good win. The Cavs are on a 3-game winning streak. They play Boston on Friday, and that could be a sneaky win because it's like a matinee kind of game. But Boston's also just a very good team. But I had a lot of fun. It was just a fun game last night. Like, I think I was just enjoying it. And even when the Cavs almost blew the lead and blew the game, I was just like, you know what? I'm still having a good time watching the young guys just going out there and having fun and just learning from their mistakes. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I think Sexton was pretty good. You know, I think there's some. I had a tweet that I don't want to get into now, but that the content of the tweet was like, basically, I wonder, like, if we're seeing a point where, like, things are flowing better without him and how we talk about that. I think that, like, that was part of the case last night, but he also did play pretty well. I thought Garland was pretty freaking good last night. Only had the one assist, but, like, shot really well, had a really good idea of where to be on the floor. And KPJ just pops off the page. Like, whether – I know he turned the ball over 5 times, but he had 9 boards. He made 7 of his 10 shots. He did some really interesting defensive stuff where he was, like, poking the ball free and kind of creating chaos in that way. I just, yeah, like, watch a game like that, and, like, all the young guys basically played pretty well. Jetty did some stuff that I thought that was pretty good, even if he was very shaky in those last couple minutes. Airballed a three and had that really bad turnover where he just dropped the Kevin Love pass. I felt like the young guys all did stuff last night that is encouraging. Beats Atlanta. Again, you know, Trey obviously had some big moments, but, like, you know, Reddish, as you mentioned, didn't play well. DeAndre Hunter, I thought, played pretty well. Did make a lot of threes, but, like, shot well. But, like, I felt like good. I felt better overall. Like, maybe Trey's the best player of those guys. Led the whole game in scoring with 30, and was bombing threes kind of late to make that one close. But I felt this of the Cavs young guys all came across really well in that one, and that's kind of been the theme of this little 3-game homestand, is all these young guys have Texan kind of being the outlier. I'd say KPJ and Garland in particular have really done stuff these last 3 games where I'm just like, okay, like, this, they're starting to figure some stuff out. And even if this Cavs team isn't good, they, like, maybe have a higher level of competence that we're going to see maybe the next month. Maybe, like, the dip post that strong-ish start was, like, more of the anomaly than the beginning. I don't know that, but maybe, like, we're going to see, like, just a more competent semi-bad team that is fun and spunky as these young guys get more comfortable. Maybe that's, like, the outcome we're headed to from, like, January 1 on.
I think that's what I would like to see happen, and I have a feeling I agree with you that that is what's going to happen, because for a little bit there, when the Cavs are getting the doors blown off them, I feel like that if it kept going that way when they're playing all those title contenders and playoff contenders, that it could shake the confidence of a lot of these young guys. And I think this 3-game homestand against 3 teams that are in similar situations to Cleveland right now, with Memphis, Charlotte, and Atlanta, it's just a good way to build momentum, just to head out on this road trip and have a little fun. And Boston could be a winnable game. Minnesota got annihilated. I mean, Cat didn't play last night, but they got annihilated by Golden State for the better part of the game. And I mean, I know the final box score says it was a little closer than I'm making it sound, but it was a blowout. And so, like, that's a winnable game for Cleveland. And then I know Toronto is on the docket, and Toronto's a little banged up right now. And I think that could be a good confidence booster, especially if, like, for your young guys, if you go out there and you hang with the defending champs, like, there's some good opportunities here with Cleveland on the road just to keep this momentum going. So they may not win a lot, but at least they're going to have fun along the way. And that's all I can really ask for at this point in the season.
Yeah, I think that's right. Which of the two games as we wrap up here, or I guess we touched on this on the other one, but any changes in any player you most want to watch play on holiday, like explain to your family? Like I'm very much looking forward to explaining the even though like he drives me nuts sometimes, I'm very excited to explain the virtues of James Harden to my family.
see, the thing is, like, my family across the board is just like an NFL football family.
Okay.
And sometimes college too, because if they went to Ohio State or something, so they like humor me when they talk about NBA basketball, and they're mostly like just asking about the Cavs, and they're like, "Oh, do you think Kevin Love's gonna get moved?" And my answer's just like, "Yeah, I do." And they're like, "Well, who do you think he's gonna go to?" I'm like, "X, Y, or Z team, and here are the packages." But and then I start to get too like nerdy about it, and then like the conversation interest just gradually trails off, and then I'm like, "All right, so anyways, how are you guys doing?" So I'll explain maybe the virtues of James Harden as well, just like why Golden State is so bad, because like my dad can't wrap his head around that. He's like, "Oh, you know, they're hurt, but they have like a culture. I thought Steve Kerr was a good coach." And like, so that's always a fun, like, just talk down memory lane. And oh, my dad likes to talk about John Beilein, and he really likes him, so that'll be a fun talk too. It's just like, yeah, well, they're getting rid of the guys that are dissenters, so allegedly.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. We'll see what happens. It'll be a fun time to just talk sports and have hopefully people humor me a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So that's going to be it for this December 24th episode of Lockdown Cavs. Evan and I are going to again be back on the 26th. We'll be back later this week talking about Boston, probably talking more about Exum. Perhaps we'll get someone from the Jazz perspective on to chat about Exum and sort of what they think he could be, a little segment on that. But Evan, thanks so much for coming on, and have a good holiday.
Thanks, man. You too. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll be back on the 26th. Enjoy your holiday. Enjoy the basketball and eat a lot of food. Drink some beer and enjoy yourself. Cheers.